Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Today's program is the second in the series called What the Church Needs to Hear. In every century of church history, there are particular challenges for God's people. In the second and third century, there was the persecution from the government, along with the Gnostics who are wedding Christian teaching with Greek philosophy. In the fourth century, the attack was against the deity of Christ. In the fifth century, the attack was against the manhood of Christ. During the Reformation, the focus was on the authority of the Bible and justification by Christ through faith alone. Now we're in the 21st century and we're facing an unprecedented explosion of secular humanism. The Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist ideology that has taken over the institutions and the governments of this world sure looks like the great rebellion that's prophesied to take place at the end of the church age. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, no man knows the time or the season of Christ's return, but the church is to watch for signs of the time. We need to be like the Old Testament men of Issachar. 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel should do. Now, there are standard fundamentals of the faith and practices that the church should have in every generation, but each generation may need a particular focus on certain truth. Just like the seven churches of the Revelation, each received a unique message given their circumstances. So the question I have for you is this. If you were to write out a list of what the church needs to hear in these times, truths that are not being heard that should be heard, what would you put on your list? And I'm sure you have certain truths in your heart because Jesus promised that the Spirit of God would be given to guide the church into all truth. Well, the first on my list is that the church needs to know that in the last days, there will be a great outbreak of evil because God will remove his restraint on evil. And I'm not picking this truth out of the hat. This is what the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches in regard to what the church needs to know concerning the coming day of the Lord. Because of the persecutions and the destruction of Jerusalem, the Thessalonican church thought that they were in the apocalypse, the day of the Lord. And Paul says, no, it will only come when there's a great worldwide rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness comes upon the scene. And the Christians were to know that this would come about because God would remove his restraint upon the world. So if this is what the Lord wanted his people to know about these times, this is certainly what the church needs to hear today. There has been this outbreak in immoral lawlessness. You know, who would have thought that in every major city in the United States, and pretty much in all of the West, there are yearly homosexual pride parades? And that's no small thing. The Cambridge Dictionary has recently changed the definition of a woman. I kid you not. A woman is now an adult who lives and identifies as a female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. So gender rebellion, that final rebellion against God's law is well underway. Back just in 2006, the then Senator Joe Biden said the following about same-sex marriage. Quote, look, marriage is between a man and a woman. We already have a law, the Defense of Marriage Act. We all voted, I voted, and said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody has violated that law. There have been no challenges to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. Last month, Joe Biden signed into law the Respect for Marriage Bill, which codified in federal law homosexual marriage. And in his speech, Biden said, folks, racism, antisemitism, transphobia, homophobia are all connected. But the antidote to hate is love. This law and the love it defends strikes a blow against hate in all of its forms. And that is why this law matters to every single American, no matter who you are or who you love. Unquote Joe Biden. So how can Joe Biden go in just 16 years from believing marriage is only between a man and a woman to now supporting homosexual marriage and transgenderism? And he represents millions of Americans who have also changed their mind in this regard. Well, this has happened because values and morals are no longer based on the higher law of God, but upon man's feelings and desires. And this is humanism, where man is God, where man makes the rules, where man becomes the measure of all things. And this is the great rebellion prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And those who are opposing the lust of men as being the standard for morality, they are being considered haters. And it is actually God himself they are calling a hater. And this has all the fingerprints of Satan's original rebellion against God written all over it. The lie of Satan in the garden was that God is an oppressor. He is trying to keep you down by his rules. And that's the driving spirit of this age. So be aware of what's happening. Well, this brings me to my second point, the second truth that the church needs to hear. And that is, the church needs to double down on evangelism. The fulfillment of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. You say, well, that's nothing new. The church has needed to hear and heed that message in every century. True. But given all the other messages that the church is hearing, and given all the other distractions and temptations, the church needs to be reminded to return to a focus on winning souls for the kingdom of Christ, rather than thinking we need to just do more politicking, or rather than thinking that this is a time to run and hide and build some sort of safe house in Kansas. Rather than running to a red state, maybe we need to be going into all the world onto the mission fields. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, I never said that what the church needs to hear today is going to be pleasant. It's going to be convicting. There's a lot to break down here in regard to the church's need to focus on evangelism in these times. First, there needs to be the priority of evangelism over politicking. I mean, that should go without saying, but it sure is easy to be distracted from the main mission because of so much stuff vying for our time. Let's just remember that we're here as ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ. We're citizens of Christ's kingdom sent into this world, into Satan's kingdom. You know, as Christ was sent to recruit a people for Christ's heavenly country, so also we're sent. John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And why did the Father send the Son? John chapter 19, for this reason I have come into this world to testify to the truth. So just think of yourself similar to a recruiter for the military, or a recruiter for the Virginia Company trying to get Englishmen to go to the colonies. We often overlook the kingdom verses in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Acts 20:25. Paul said he went about preaching the kingdom. Acts 20:31. Paul preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 4:11, these are the fellow workers for the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. Or Revelation 1:6, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God. Recruiting people for the kingdom of Christ is the goal, not saving America. The church must be reminded that we're only trying to save America and do some politicking on the side as an ancillary work to support evangelism. The goal is to get people off of the sinking ship, not to save the sinking ship. Now, if we can patch a few holes in the bottom of the ship to give us more time to get people off of the ship, that's fine. Then we pay some attention to the ship. But isn't it so true that Christians can forget the main goal and focus solely on fixing the ship, fixing this world? As if our job is to save the empires of men that the kingdom of God will crush. Daniel 2:44. Now, of course, there are Christians who are called to public service, like Daniel or Joseph or Nehemiah. We should not criticize them for trying to make righteous laws. Now, of course, the true morality God is looking for cannot be legislated. But God does call certain Christians to constrain and convict the people through righteous government. And just because these Christians work to make the state better doesn't mean they're neglecting the gospel solution. But again, often when Christians work in civics, they make politicking an end in itself rather than using it to wake up people to the gospel. I connect with many professing Christians who are politically involved. They're angry over what's happening in our country because it threatens their freedom and finances. But I believe many of these Christians need to refocus their politicking toward the goal of personal evangelism. The whole purpose should be a platform to share with the public and politicians the gospel of Christ. Like Paul spoke before the governor Felix. Paul spoke to him of righteousness, self-control, and a judgment to come. We point out the law, the offense of abortion and LGBTQ and theft in order to give people a knowledge of sin to bring them to repentance. So this is what I mean when I say that the church needs to double down on evangelism. And also, this means that the church needs to understand what true evangelism is. What I'm saying is that the church needs to truly evangelize. 2 Timothy 3:5, in the last times there will be many who hold to forms of godliness, but will deny its power. And there will be, and there is, watered down versions of Jesus. A woke version of Jesus where Jesus affirms you. He loves you as you are. He agrees with your victimization and your oppression mindset. Where Jesus is all about, we're victims of racism, colonial oppression, and homophobia. The church needs to present the true Jesus. To explain to the public the difference between the false religion of secular humanism versus the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because coming to Christ means repenting of the current humanism taking over this world, where morals are now based on human desire rather than bowing the knee to the authority of Christ. We need to bring people back to God's word being the authority. Jesus is Lord. And the church needs to explain to the world the nature of this great apostasy, this great final rebellion against God. And we need to explain that to be saved, one must choose for God's side and go from the kingdom of Satan to God. You know, we're in a situation right now where secular humanists believe that they're the righteous ones, that they're the enlightened ones, because the goal is to affirm man rather than to affirm God, to love humanity over loving God. And the deception is such that they believe that they're the heroes, that they're becoming more loving, less prejudiced. They believe that they're becoming enlightened when actually they're going further into darkness. So this is what we're up against. And all this needs to be flushed out if we're going to be doing true evangelism for the Lord in these last days. So our job is to clearly delineate Satan's side versus God's side. And these are times where the line is being clearly drawn in the sand. Let's take advantage of this opportunity. So the Bible study to conclude this program is a look at evangelism in the book of the Revelation. If in the last days the church needs to focus on evangelism, we'd expect the prophetic text of the New Testament to have much to say about commanding believers to evangelize. However, we tend not to think of the book of the Revelation as being a calling for the church to evangelize the world. If anything, it looks more like a call for the church to endure persecution and run for cover. But the witness of the church to the world is a key theme in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus is called the faithful witness. Now, the word in the Greek doesn't mean that you see something, as in witnessing a crime. The word means one who communicates a special message. In the biblical sense, God's message. And in the Revelation, the Christians are also referred to as being witnesses, communicators of God's truth. Revelation 17, 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, referring to the kingdom of the Antichrist, and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. See what the saints are doing there. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, the prophecy is that God will send two special prophets at this time, and they are called his two witnesses. Revelation 11, 3, and I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. To whom will they witness to? The unsaved world. In Revelation 14, 6, we read that God sends an angel to preach the gospel, the good news. And I saw another angel fly in mid-heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. Now, we don't know exactly how this is going to work, because angels have spiritual bodies and they live in a spiritual realm. Maybe the angels will whisper, you know, into the minds of every person on earth those basic gospel truths. Well, the point is that in the end, every person is given a witness. However, we read in the Revelation three times, after each three sets of judgments, the people of this world will not repent. Revelation 6:16, after the seal judgments, they said, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne. Revelation 9:20, after the trumpet judgments, they did not repent of the works of their hands so as to not worship demons. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immoralities, nor of their theft. And in Revelation 16:9, after the bowl judgments, they blasphemed the name of God and did not repent so as to give him glory. So this doesn't sound like a time of successful evangelism, but let's remember that our witness has a twofold purpose: to save the chosen, but also to indict the unsaved. God often wants us to witness the unsaved so their enmity against God would be exposed, so that God would be just in his judgment. You know, we witness for the glory of God, not just for the deliverance of the elect. But additionally, we should find encouragement in the book of the Revelation because we read about a great multitude of believers arriving in heaven so that there will be a final harvest at the end of this age. Revelation 7:9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and people and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. There are 6 or 7 billion people in this world, and just because certain regions have become hard-hearted and ideologically secular humanist, you know, like the United States, doesn't mean that there aren't other people groups that are open. I mean, after all, we have like 1 million Central American immigrants coming to our country every year. We should be starting churches in those communities. John chapter 4, verse 35. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for life eternal. 21st century Christians need to have a revival in missions. Just like in Acts chapter 8, when the great persecution arose, the church was scattered throughout the region. And those who were scattered went about preaching the gospel. Now, also in the book of the Revelation, we read about the rebuking of the church of Laodicea, the last of the seven churches. The church at Laodicea was rich and wealthy and thought that it was in need of nothing. But God saw the church as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that certainly describes the church in the West today. We have so many worldly things and creature comforts. We have built our castles on earth. But we failed to step into surrendering our time, talent, and treasure to evangelize and plant mission churches. Now, if the church of Laodicea represents the condition of the church at the end of the church age, as many prophetic teachers say, then we do well to heed the warning. The church today needs to sell the things of this world and instead put their treasures in heaven. The last day church needs to start packing light. Start giving to God's work what the Antichrist is going to take away from us anyway. And the message to the church of Laodicea ends with that well-known evangelistic appeal. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. So the book of the Revelation does emphasize evangelism. And notice the final verse in the Bible, the final verse in the Revelation. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take of the water of life without cost. Now, one final reason why the church needs to focus on evangelism in our times, because the dissolution of this present world, the lawlessness, the rise of tyranny, will awaken a few more souls to the truth of Christ. I mean, not everyone. There's always going to be those diehard humanist ideologues who want their immoral freedom. But those who need some signs to build their faith will come. Fulfilled prophecy was the witness of the early New Testament church, and it will be our witness in these last days. There is an appropriate time to say, I told you so. In fact, I heard someone say the other day that my preferred pronouns are, I told you so. And we can say to our family and friends, you may not believe now, but will you believe when you see the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? So rather than seeing the present situation as a total negative, realize that the corruption now is really helping our evangelism. For me personally, it was seeing the sin in my own high school and reading the prophecy of Scripture about the sin in this world that convinced me that the Bible was true. The Bible is true because what it said was true in reality. So be encouraged, be inspired. The church needs to double down on evangelism in these times. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to the first message in this series, the YouTube and Rumble channels for the extended video version of this program is at God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Thanks for wanting to hear from God's word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the series reminds us that your people need to stay focused on Christ. So help us to be single-minded, to overcome the world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.